What's going on, everybody? It's episode 51 of the Textual Talk Podcast. Well, I'm your host, HD. I've been appreciating everything you guys been doing. Y'all been doing y'all thing when it's come to the downloads on the videos, and I really do appreciate that, man. I couldn't do none of this without you. Shout out to all the Patreon subscribers. Truly, you guys are special. You're believing me that much to subscribe to me monthly and pretty much, you know, just help me out. You guys have a special giveaway going on. And for my YouTube subscribers also, I have some giveaways planned out that I will be releasing pretty soon for making the 5,000 subscriber mark on my YouTube channel. So please be tuned in to see how to be entered into the sweepstakes of the giveaway. All right, so today what we're going to talk about is, why did I leave the help desk? And why did I choose to move to where I moved to, and that new role and that whole experience. And the reason why I want to do this is another solo episode, by the way, is simply because I feel like, you know, some of you people don't know me, just been listening, and you probably listen to like a lot of guests but probably don't really know a lot of my background. So briefly, I'm just gonna let everybody know who I am. I'm Henry Davis. I am a cybersecurity professional. I've been in tech overall the last 10 years. In the last 5 to 6 years, I have been in cybersecurity. I'm from Louisiana, and I moved to the DFW area exactly 6 years ago. And that's really when my career really started to take off. But now that you got a little brief overview of who I am, let's get into it. So for those of you who don't know, I started off my professional career in IT help desk in my hometown, our home area, Shreveport, Bossier. And what a lot of people find out about that first job is, well, first of all, I stayed there far too long. If you're going to do help desk, don't stay there over 6 months to a year and keep job hopping so you can get paid what you deserve to get paid. But anyways, I was only staying there because I was being promised to do different things, and that wasn't happening. I had a couple of situations where, so if you know, I wanted to get into cybersecurity bad at the time. And I actually had an interview with the SOC for the internal SOC for that company. And I got passed on for the role. And that made me really upset because I had everything they wanted. I had the clearance. I had the SEC Plus. I had kind of just overall kind of knew about how security worked. I had been doing help desk already for about a year. But I found out it wasn't because they didn't like me. It was pretty much one of those political things that happened. You know, my team didn't want me to go. And it's just one of the things where you kind of learn, you know, early about like how the gang can be shady and be greasy, how the gang don't love nobody. And I didn't really find that out till later, till I was about to leave. But I had suspicions because one of the people that did get to go to the SOC did not have my credentials. And I was perplexed about that. And that was just, man, you already know how that goes down. It sucks. Pretty much. It does suck. So if we're going to go past that, that's incident one. Incident two was I was trying to go to this other team in a department where a former coworker was like a manager over there on that side. And he had already talked to the hiring manager for me. He already vouched for me. You know, this guy's good. Don't hire him. And that pretty much was a done deal. I had previously talked to the recruiter. I was going to get a little pay bump. And that interview got nixed, like far as like for me getting over there, because of at the time OPM had a breach. And then so it's kind of like a hold on clearances for a while. But what they got to do with me? I mean, like the biggest issue I had and what I started seeing was like, man, you know, y'all gonna want me to stay here, but y'all don't want to give me the money that I'm missing out on. And that was the biggest issue. You know, when somebody play with your money, don't nobody like it. So that also let me know, like, hey, and shout out to Jermaine Jupiter. He's posted this a couple of times. Like, you play for the team, but you're loyal to the name on the back of the jersey. And that's so true. That taught me then, hey, like, bump, like, whatever. I don't care how long you've been in a company. You could have been in a company 30 days, 30 years. Be loyal to yourself first, because ain't nobody going to care about you like you do. Nobody cares about your family like you do. all you are is another number to the company, you know? And I mean, it's rare to find companies that's, you know, that's not going to look you like that, because at the end of the day, their job is to make the most money without spending, you know, the most money. So it is what it is, but, you know, that had me looking. So I wanted to move to Dallas back in 2015. It didn't happen then. I was having some interviews and it just really wasn't sticking. I didn't really have a strategy. Like I've said in previous videos, I was just applying to anything that was pretty much kind of matched up with some of my skill set, but I just wasn't that good on selling myself back then. And I think maybe one job probably was coming through. And honestly, I don't know. It really just wasn't the time to move out there at that time. It just wasn't working. And that's what I'm also going to let you guys know something. This journey that you're trying to start on, if you're trying to enter tech or trying to pivot, it's not going to start off easy. Sometimes that may mean that's not the time for you to move around. It may mean it's just time for you to be still. But that next year, 2016, was like the breakthrough. I'm trying to remember. It's like I said, we didn't slip since then. But a lot of good things happened. I had applied for this company. And a company at the time, they were named Income. And they deal with payment card information. Well, they had this type of software that they used to use for different vendors to help them with their payment transactions. So technically, I want to say that's in PCI DSS. I think I said that right. But needless to say, I applied to two jobs there. It was a knock role and it was like a security role. Well, they passed on the security role, and we'll kind of touch on that maybe either this episode or another episode, but I got the knock role. They really like my experience. They like my background. And I think they hired me too. So let's break it down. This podcast format, right, man? So, if you're paying attention, you know, go ahead. And if you're right now watching this on YouTube, please go ahead and hit that like button for me. It really helps out with the algorithm, and you know, it's no cost to you, but moving along. I had the first interview, I don't know if it was with Tim or whatever. I can't remember who it was with, man. But they liked me. They scheduled the interview. So funny enough, the interview was a day where it was scheduled to rain in Dallas. And I ended up, you know, we left early that morning and got there like right before it started raining. And so I think that was one reason too. I felt like, and this is another thing now granted, a lot of this stuff is different now because COVID since 2020, interviewing is a little bit different. But back then, most of the time, if you stayed in a different state and they asked you to come in to meet the team, most of the time they were going to offer you unless just something crazy happened. So I went in, had the interview. It was a panel interview. Shout out to my guy, Jesse Rubio. He asked me some stuff. And the funny thing was, he asked me some things that I didn't even do at work, but just from, and this is why I tell people why help desk is, you know, a good foundational job if you don't have like any tech skills. But based on my troubleshooting skills and my awareness and how to think on the fly, I was able to figure out some questions that I didn't really know the answer to, but I figured it out. And he said, the interview said, you did better, you know, you said you did good for a person that like don't do sysadmin stuff or don't do this stuff or just doing help that stuff. And I think that carried a long way. Did good with the team and they end up, you know, offering me. Now here's the thing, right? I know everybody's caught up in this. They want to make all this money when they're doing these jobs and everything. But honestly, that wasn't, the offer was pretty much what, $8,000 more than I was getting paid in Shreveport Bossier. Also, really cost a $10,000 because it was like I forgot how my pay was working. I think you got paid like every other week or whatever. So it was like $48,000 or really $50,000 if we just round it up, because that's about what I think I ended up with making there. But the thing was, is hey, do I turn this job down and stay in Shreveport and be miserable? Or do I take the advantage of going to the area that I've been trying to get to pretty much the last 2 years and figuring out how to pivot into what I want? And so the reason why I moved to Dallas was because they had way more tech security, whatever jobs then we had in Shreveport, Bossier. Like, I would type in IT, Shreveport, LA, probably get 20 results. IT, Dallas, 400, 500 results. Even more than that, actually, probably Indeed. So it was a no-brainer, right? And I always tell people, hey, you're just trying to get in. Like, figure some out, get some places, and meet some people. Because I had already planned to have my network, let them know, hey, this is what I want to do, and all this other stuff. So, also, I did try to negotiate when they initially offered me. I always negotiate, never accept the first offer. They didn't have a lot of money to work with. But at the same time, that job didn't require much, right? I didn't have no family at the time. At this time, I am 24. I was 24 years old. There we go. Yeah, 24 years old, no family. So yeah, I was with it. And shout out to my aunt. Like, previous years trying to move, I had to figure out all this different stuff going around. Like, okay, boom, if I get this, where I'm gonna stay in it. It's because most of the jobs, you know, weren't really paying that much. Like this job, that job technically really wasn't. If I didn't have, I had a Mustang GT at the time. So if I didn't have that car, maybe I could have just stayed on my own initially. But at the same time, it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't enough. But shout out to my aunt. She let me stay with her and get myself together. And then within, I think, like 6 months, by the end of the year, really, I had ended up moving out. But took that job. I was relieved. The people that know me know I am a very reminiscent person. And that's why I'm reminiscing also right now while I'm talking to y'all. A lot of times I hear certain songs or look at certain things or drive around in the area that I stay in. And I was like, man, I remember when I moved out here 6 years ago, like what was out here? I remember what songs I was listening to. I was listening to Travis Scott, Birds in the Trap singing Brown Midnight. I was listening to, DJ Khaled had came out with his new CD. So it'd be different stuff that come on that I hear that reminds me of, you know, where I came from. And I just say that to say, like, a lot of times in life, you probably don't think that, you know, you are where you should be. But then when you actually take a step back and look at it, you're right where you need to be. Right where you need to be. So that's the thing I'll tell you, like, you know, stop focusing on everybody else, get tunnel vision, and just focus in on what you've been doing. So if I compare, you know, moving out here, you know, for 50K 6 years ago to making, you know, triple that in a couple of years, you know what, it's a no brainer, but that only comes from, you know, working hard and putting the work in, right? So let's talk about the NOC. For those of you who don't know, and I should have said this earlier, the NOC stands for Network Operations Center. And a lot of people, you know, pretty much will call it like a NOC, you know, an easy job or whatever. But what it does is, depending on your NOC, sometimes the NOC will have you doing a lot of work. Sometimes your work will have the NOC will have you doing not so much work. But it gives you a chance to learn everything, interact with different business units, similar to help desk, except you don't talk to customers or end users as much. You do a lot of monitoring. So we monitored pretty much, I told you we did with payment card transactions. So I think a couple of their, well, no, I can't say that. I can't tell you who some of their clients were. But they had these big TVs up here with these different dashboards. That's why I actually got introduced to Splunk. So, and I always got to say this, like, you could be on a lower level job, but be introduced to a technology that you could go learn and get better at that could potentially help you make more money. And Splunk has been one of those ones for me. Like, I always get hit up about jobs because I know how to use Splunk. But needless to say, most of the time, job's fairly simple, doing a lot of monitoring. If something's in the red or whatever, we're picking up the phone, trying to see, make sure what's going on, or maybe it's testing. And yeah, and so funny enough, a quick funny story is that my first weekend by myself, I messed up big time. Let me try to clip this. My first weekend by myself, I messed up big time. Like, during the week, I just felt like everything was testing. They would tell, oh, we're testing on blah, blah, blah. We're testing. So my mind was set on when alarm go off, we're testing. This is a rookie mistake. So this was the difference in help desk. And it's not like, I want you to like all those like false positives, right? So something happened over the weekend. And I got, not getting in trouble, but they was like, why are you saying that? I said, well, I thought it was testing. But I had to do this big root cause analysis and research and document everything that happened from the time actually the alert went off and what I did and blah, blah, blah. I thought it was pretty funny because I did mess up for that. But there I did get to introduce some things. Like I used to talk to their security team. And honestly, their security team wasn't doing much. They ended up hiring a woman instead of me that didn't have the credentials either, but she was getting paid less than I was. So I actually figured out, oh, okay, I dodged a bullet, but I think it's because they didn't really want to pay me. And I also believe our knock was supposed to be like a selling point to them at the time, or to the customers, because they're saying, hey, we'll always have somebody in the office monitoring the transaction so we could, you know, help you guys out and notify you, you know, about what's going on. So I think that's the reason why, too. I think our knock was a selling point. Wasn't that big. I wonder if I got some pictures still. I might have some pictures still in my Google Photos. I may try to put them up on here or something like that. Maybe I try to blur out what I can, if it's anything that'll need to be on here. But it wasn't that big. It was a cool little job, man. But with me, I'm the type of person that's never satisfied. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but especially when it comes to my career, I'm never satisfied. I needed more action. Like, look, like no cap. That job was in Addison. If anybody's familiar with Addison, then they know the Galleria is in Addison. So my job was like five minutes away from the Galleria. Sometimes I used to work, my shift was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So on Saturdays and Sundays, sometimes I would just, when nothing going on, I'll go to the Galleria for about a couple hours because we had pager duty. Pager duty would notify me if something was happening. So once pager duty go off, I look at it again and I can head back to the job. You know, I work 7 to 7 on Saturday and Sunday. So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And really, all that stuff could have been done remotely or whatever. But sometimes it was cool to just be out, and I would do some stuff sometimes when I got off work. But all in all, that led me to say, okay, this can't be it. What can I do after this? So I ended up enrolling in school. I applied to go to grad school. One of my friends was already from college, was already in the grad school in University of Dallas. And I'm probably going to do a separate video on, like, I think I've talked about grad school before, but like in this series of podcast stuff, I want to talk about it just so we could, you know, build some up. And if people may be with me on feeling certain ways, maybe you can see, you could leave your comments about it. But because I wasn't getting enough action, you only going to get this stuff on the podcast. I was inviting people up to work with me that really weren't supposed to be there just because I was bored. Nobody come in on the weekends. So it's a couple of times, one of the owners used to come sometimes on the weekend. Thank God I wasn't asleep, because I used to sleep a lot at job, because it wasn't nothing going on. Like, imagine, like, you woke up at, 5:36 in the morning to get to work just to probably not do nothing the whole day. Almost like a security guard. Like, no cap. So that doesn't work for me. I have to learn. Anybody that's close to me now, and if you run into him, they'll tell you he's always trying to do something that he likes to do that's going to be beneficial for him, that's going to help him get to the next level. If job doesn't give me that, then I look to go elsewhere. It's because, and tech things change quickly. It used to be, I know we had this thing in school, it was like computing power doubles like every 18 months, but we've seen that change to like a year, maybe like even 6 months now. Same thing for like software, application skills, all these different things are always changing. So now you really can't afford to waste a year of your career away really learning stuff that's not going to really help you try to get the role that you really want. No, I mean, you could do it on your own, but it's hard. It's so hard when you got a family, you're at work the whole day. Then you got to come home, make sure they're situated, then try to study and learn some crap, then wake up and do it all over again. Like, it's very hard. It's better if you had a role that will let you do the things that you like to do and volunteer and help other people, opposed to have to do so much self-study. It's really hard, and it can get draining very fast. It'll seem like, dang, when am I not looking at the computer screen? But that's another topic about, like, why tech may not be for you. That's another video that I plan to do. But Knock Job was cool, met some dope people. Shout out to Jesse, Frank, Tokes, Tim Redman. I think shout out to RP, man. My manager from the Knock actually passed away either a year ago, almost 2 years ago. Tim Schroeder, man, he was it was crazy. I'm not trying to turn this into a sad podcast, but it was crazy, man. Tim was really pretty much a bundle of joy, very nice guy. Matter of fact, he's the first manager that I had that he came from a different background, so he wasn't that technical. However, Tim really showed me the importance of one-on-ones, of why it's important to have one-on-ones with your manager, especially when you're new. And so if you're going to a new job, please ask about how often, one-on-ones will be done, because they are very useful in helping you succeed in that role. And that's the goal of the manager, to help you succeed in that role. And it also helps them look good. So that was that. I had one major other incident where we messed up doing this report time. One of the managers that was Tim manager yelled at us, and that was like strike three for me. I didn't really like that. All in all, I was in the Knock from, June of 2016, and I left the Knock in, February of 2017? Yeah, February of 2017, so that's, 8 months? So it's only there 8 months, so I didn't stay there a year. And some of you already know how I got the sock job, which we'll talk about, but all in all, if I'm going to wrap up what I discuss is, if you're contemplating on moving away from your hometown or leaving a job that you don't like, just do it. A lot of our hometowns don't have the opportunities for us to succeed. And I know sometimes, you feel bad about like leaving, or, some people deal with like not knowing nobody or having to start all over and meet people in a whole new town because it could be scary, or your family's there, you have a big support system. I totally understand that. But at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you, and you got to not be short-sighted. You have to think long-term about, what are your goals and what are you planning to do with your career? So you could try to wallow away and hope you get that new promotion or other things that's happening at that company you're at. But in the meantime, you could, instead of if at the door opportunity is locked, go somewhere where you can knock it down, So that's one thing. It's like, if you're contemplating that, leave. If you're at a job that you already see is a dead end and you've been there longer than a year and then nothing's shaking, just leave, man. It's probably some other stuff going on and they're not going to be honest with you, and you're just going to be wasting your time there, man. Go where you're valued. Always go where you're valued, because if it don't make money, it don't make sense. And I mean, yes, money is not the only thing, but when you entry level starting off, money is a big part of that. It really is. Money, you can change your life, man. Like, most people's life gets drastically better once they probably make about $70,000. It might be a little bit more of an inflation now, but I would say once you normally get to about $70,000, your life starts to change, as far as like you have a little bit more money to save or invest or whatever you want to do. Anything below that's kind of make it hard. It just, you're kind of more of an irritable person to be around, because you always complain about money and stuff like that. So if you're in IT or tech, cybersecurity, whatever you're trying to pivot into, like, please do what's best for you and leave that company. Now, when you get to the new said company, learn what you can. And if that's not what you're trying to do at that company, or you're trying to go to a different department, realize that you may have to wait a year before you can go to the new department, and that opportunity may not be there anymore. So with that being said, if you learn all you can and then you enroll to a high level, go ahead and go to the company you really want to do. I mean, the job you want to do that really helps you start your career and really be that person that you want to be in your career. And lastly, man, we only get one life. Enjoy it. You know, there's no reason to put up with stuff if you're not enjoying life. If you're, like I said, if you're single, you're childless, and nobody really depends on you, just taking care of yourself, man, do what you got to do for you. Enjoy yourself in this life, because we all get older. You know, at one point I didn't really see it. I was, you know, hey, yeah, I'm good. I'm 21, I'm 22. Now I'm 30. Pretty soon, close my eyes, I'm gonna be 40. So, I mean, that's really what it is, man. If you're interested in, also, if you're interested in working in the NOC, I could probably guide you to some people that do that. It is like a good opportunity, especially when you're doing school. And as I said, definitely something I'll talk about, why a lot of some tech, what, like, really, I might make a video, it's like the best tech jobs on, like, to go to school and, like, work full time. Like, you need a flexible job, preferably either remote or that lets you work at night. But that's, you know, that's another video for another day. Hope you guys learned a lot. Well, I just hope you learned some or took some away from this actual podcast episode. Plan to try to just be really transparent and help you guys really understand me. Let's build that bond and that chemistry with me. But if you're watching this right now on YouTube, like I said, please hit the like button, share it out, you know, to your social media to help the channel grow. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a view. It really helps the algorithm. And as always, like I say, let's stay textual. It's your boy HD, and I'm out.